You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Have you ever been to that food truck? It's a Puerto Rican dude in the Bronx. He's got the straw hat and the machete. You know what I'm talking about?
This sounds like you sure this is not a character in a Marvel movie?
I said Bronx, bro. First of all, maybe I would have watched cartoons had there been representation, you know what I mean, of my people. Why can't we get a guy in a slashed up guayabera, straw hat frayed at the ends with a machete? What would be his superpower?
What would be his superpower? I mean, the machete does a lot of the heavy lifting.
That's the damage. But like, Thor is not just a hammer, right?
But the hammer is what gives him his power. So he can, it's what makes him a god.
But what does it do?
It crushes things. It allows him to fly.
I get how to use it.
But it's a very, very strong hammer.
I get how to use it. He's like, you can put nails in the wall. Really?
Bro, you know, like.
The guy's hanging paintings left and right.
You know, like Black and Decker, but yeah, like two times that.
Damn.
Okay. The wall.
Really black and extra Decker. Yeah,
I don't know anybody else who makes hammers. I'm out of company.
Yeah. I've reached the end of mine. But what? Like, it's not just the homie doesn't just have a hammer that he hits you with. It gives him something else, right? He has other superpowers. The chat got to be helping us out here.
The hammer is what gives him.
Thor, just another magic carpenter like Jesus. He must be talking about Gabriel Jesus, because we are a soccer show. I promise you that. Cooligans in the Home Depot deals versus the Avengers. Where we live. Bay Area Guna, bro. Let's go.
Justin Bieber said Bork and Dorker. Oh my God!
He has, like, he could see into the future or some shit, right?
No, this is he can fly. He's very strong. He hits things with the hammer. The hammer is the reason he has the powers.
Matthew Press said cocaine is his spinach, like Popeye. the guy with the machete.
All right, right.
Yeah.
Why are you so concerned about what Thor does?
Because I'm trying to figure out what this guy's superpower would be. It's not just a Puerto Rican dude holding a machete. That's not a superhero. That's a guy in a backyard.
His superpower is being faithful to his wife.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something tells me the superpower must be on the fritz, you know?
Okay.
Lightning. He can shoot lightning. That's what Alexis is thinking of. Thor can shoot lightning?
Without the hammer?
I don't know.
Can we confirm? Can he do anything without the hammer?
Yo, wait. Hannah Banana is now Hanan Banana?
I guess so.
Was she always Hanan Banana?
No. It might have been on Twitch. Definitely Hanan Banana on Twitch. Maybe. I don't know if there were any.
Nick Red put Boar.
Yes, this conversation is boring.
Yeah,
right?
Machete man with the power of Platanos. By the power invested in Platanos. Speaking of Platanos, I don't know if you guys saw Bodega Bro.
Yeah, some people in the chat were here the other day when we were talking about Bodega Bro and his ridiculousness.
Old as Corey said, yes, he can shoot lightning without the hammer.
God, okay.
So the hammer really don't do nothing. It's just there for a picture hanging. the guy's got lightning, but that's what I'd be doing all day. I wonder if it makes him tired. Who knows? I don't know anything about comic books.
Okay.
But Bodega Bro has pulled himself off private.
Right.
And
thank
he
God.
Has made we a were, second video.
I was waiting for...
We were all on bended knee waiting. And he has made a secondary video, which I'll give him a little bit of credit. It was kind of sweet. He went. He said, I don't know if you guys saw my video got taken way out of context. And I don't think
so.
No, I think
it actually got perfectly in context.
Right in the context in which you made it. But he went.
You nailed it like Thor. Hanging
with
up.
Hammer. Hanging bing, up. Bing, bing. Are you done? And then zoom, shoots a laser at you if you don't pay him his task
right.
rabbit fee. if you give me a bad star rating. So he made a second video. He goes to the bodega. He gets 4 bacon, egg, and cheeses, 4 chopped cheeses, and he gets, like, you know, a couple beverages, a couple fruits. I believe he thought he was grabbing bananas.
Right.
But he grabbed plantains.
Right.
Which, again, points to the fact that maybe he ain't really involved in the community like he think he is.
Yeah.
And he does hand it out to homeless people. You know, he films himself doing it secretly. It's not like he walks up to the camera, which is a little bit classier way of
You've
doing
been
it.
Blessed. Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Damn, you gonna eat bodega, bro. So he hands out these things. But I think the guy's giving people raw play. I mean, these homeless people are like, the hell, man, this banana sucks, bro.
Right.
This shit hard as hell.
Right. So, yeah, if you remember, we were talking about this dude that was basically trashing bodegas. And people got really mad at us for all the jokes we were making about him.
I think our video might have been placed in some type of Reddit
We got flagged by the people we don't want to be flagged by. But whatever.
There's a whole group of incels that ended up in our comments.
So it's all good. It's all good. Like I appreciate the comments, the engagement. Have you know, chatted up. It's all good. The this is why when I first started seeing the comments, some people were agreeing with him about just bodegas in general, basically saying that they're awful places and blah 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 and whatever. Like look, I don't agree with that, but but I'm also not saying it's the classiest place in the world. It is what it is. It serves a community.
Right now, we have a 12.3 like versus dislike on that video. 12.3.
Perfect. So, but this is where when I started seeing those comments, I started thinking, I'm like, oh, did we go too hard on this dude or whatever? He did lose his job or whatever.
But that's because he had other videos where he was homophobic
he's
in them.
And he's a problematic young man. He's clearly a troll. And look, whatever. It's the internet. Do what you want to do. There's clearly consequences. For the things that
Thomas said, this our video was the worst attack on Ohio culture since Rose Lavelle was in studio.
So it's honestly, it really didn't. People are calling us awful things.
Chris does that. Bodega Boy, the sidekick of Machete Man. Bro, I think we got a movie on our hands, bro.
We, at the very least, like a
we know who the villain is. It's Bodega Bro.
So this is where I haven't told you about this, but I don't know if you saw this. So obviously, I started wondering like, oh, did we go too hard on this dude? And then I saw the other videos. He did that other video of him going to the gym and wearing a shirt that said NAACP. He's like, oh, I'm going to wear this because then they're not going to see me as a threat. I'm like, all right, dude, you're a troll. Like, fine.
The kid was clearly thought. And here's the thing. I don't know him personally. I don't think he's a bad person. I just think he thinks this is funny.
Right, right.
And so he's being like a little bit of a troll, a little bit of a clout chasing
on the internet. So you're going to get roasted a little bit. Do what you do. And you're gonna get your audience and your fan base that loves all this stuff. So go, more right. power to you. Go ahead, do what you got to do.
You'll be on Rogan in a few weeks. You get what you want.
Have fun, right? Cancel culture, blah blah blah. Do your thing. But this is where it really speaks a lot about who your fan base is, right? Because then the people that are defending him are saying some like corny things about us or just about people in general, people that are mad at this kid or that are happy that he lost his job. And this is where I stopped feeling bad or stopped even really thinking about it or caring about these comments because our homie Jay Jordan, a hilarious comedian, he also works for Jon Stewart's show, mm-hmm. The Problem
Super
with Jon Stewart.
Funny.
Super funny. And he quote tweeted the same video, pretty much everybody did, and said like, essentially like, yo, basically all you had to do was not say this and your life, you would have had your job and everything would have been fine. And then somebody, one of the comments to him was, he's going to find another job, but you'll always be an N-word. And as soon as I saw that, I'm like, and that's why Jay retweeted the thing. He said, like, it says a lot about if these are the people.
Right, that come to bat for you, this says everything about who your audience is, who you're enticing with your content.
Exactly. So,
and we've always said this as comedians. It's like, you have the right to joke about whatever you want. I know that might upset some people in the chat. You have a microphone. You're the one who sold the tickets. You get up there. You literally could say, it could be hate speech from the beginning to end. Yeah. You have every right to say whatever you want. We live in a country where you could say that. But now comes the reaction to what you've said. Now comes who's going to decide this was good or bad, you know? And if there's a group of people, if you say some wild stuff, but you're like, well, I'm a comedian. I'm just being funny.
Right.
It's ironic. But then you see in your audience is a lot of people who maybe were busy on January 6th. You know what I mean? You know? Yo, what? Who know a guy in the Thor hat personally. You know what I mean? In the Viking hat personally. You know what I mean? There's a lot of guys who were live streaming. screaming on that day from Washington, D.C. If that's who's in your fan base, then you got to start asking yourself, like, yo, am I saying some wild shit? Did I maybe hit a different nerve than what I was meaning to say in this? We've all told jokes where you say it and they laugh at the wrong part. And you're like, ooh. I don't like the way that felt. And you adjust. And, you know, it's similar to, we've talked about this a million times, but at the time when Chappelle left the Chappelle Show, he was doing a character that was like a minstrel show character. And he said he felt a little uneasy about the types of people that were laughing behind the camera, like the executives that were there.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, I'm not bigging up my culture. I mean, I know he's a different person today, but at that time, he's like, I know I'm not bigging up my culture. I feel like I'm tearing them down for the purpose of making all this money.
Sure.
And it caused him to leave and go to Africa. At the same time, it's like, that's exactly what that person there quote tweeted or that responded to Jay Jordan's thing. If them are the people that are like running a bat for you, bro, that tells me everything about who your content is hitting.
Yeah.
And maybe you aren't a terrible person, but if you got terrible people being like, yo, that's my homie.
You
know
what I mean? Hey, you start asking questions. Yo. Yeah, yeah. JK Tritt said, free speech isn't free. And if you push the limits, you have to accept the cost. That's right.
Here's the thing. You have the right to say you ain't going to go to jail. You won't lose your job, though.
All right. You know? I mean, every time we step up to bat and grab these microphones, we take that risk. And it is what it is. All right.
Nick Red said, El Pizzadero and his partner Soylent Man. I am happy to announce that Christian has since quit Soylent, right?
You're happy to announce it like the intervention worked?
No. Yes. That's what this show has been for 7 years. You consistently being shamed.
I got my Soylent sober chip. Yeah, 2 years.
Yeah. It's a piece of meat. a little beef jerky. Sure. 6 months on it.
I haven't had Soylent in a long time.
Yeah.
And that's whatever.
Isn't it crazy that that's still attached to you?
That's
how disgusting it is. People tried it and were like, I can't believe this man.
I mean, enjoys it. It's not, I wasn't drinking rat poison. It's a perfectly fine beverage and whatever. Actually, I stopped having it. Anyway, now that we've sorted out all those pleasantries, hello, everyone. My name is Christian Polanco.
Oh, yeah, I'm Alexis Guerreros.
Let's go. Welcome to the Cooligans. Obviously, this is a soccer show, even though we spent 15 minutes talking about bodegas. We have to get to a lot that is going on in American soccer. And as always, we do this live every Tuesday, 1 p.m. Eastern time here on YouTube live. And if you're listening to this podcast, come through and join us live from time to time. But if there's any any topic you would like us to discuss, please put it in the chat. Alexis just, I guess, doesn't want to do the show that we do.
Do we have a teleprompter? Where did you get all that from? Is this something I don't see here?
Okay.
Bro, everybody knows. That's why they're here.
I love how everybody knows.
If you're new, you figured it out.
Okay. SKC Fan TV says, tough weekend for sure. Sporting Kansas City are just they're in the mud. Before we even start that, I want to address the obviously.
Are they Wooden Spoon candidates right now? Them in Chicago have the same record.
They're not doing great. But we can address some, at least LA Galaxy midfielder Sasha Kljestan was in the press conference after the game.
I'm gonna be honest with you. When I found out he did what Steve Kerr did. He's like, I'm not here to answer questions. I'm here to made a statement about gun violence. I honestly saw it and I was like, wait, which mass shooting is he talking about?
Right, right.
Which is horrific.
Yeah, we're in a bad place, clearly. And I just want to get it out of the way before we continue doing the show because there were people either, whether it was in Orlando, whether it was in Philadelphia, whether it was in Illinois. It's absolutely psychotic. And we're in a place that the world does not make sense. Or at least this country, you know how we always say, is Manchester United a big club? Is Man City a big club?
The conversation you hate having.
Yeah, I hate having that conversation. You know, that's it. The United States, not a big club. Yeah. Not a big country.
You know what?
We are.
We used to be.
We used to be a big country.
Yeah, then we lost our Sir Alex constitution and now we're
done.
In the mud.
It is week after week, day after day, it's becoming an absolute embarrassment. All right.
I mean, look, you know, I've had friends growing up that have had drug problems and, you know, you try to help him and you try to say some stuff, and often that doesn't really lead to change. And, you know, we've had people around us that have been like, oh, you know what it is when they hit rock bottom, that's when they'll change. Hopefully they survive that rock bottom. That's where we're at.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing going to change until we hit a rock bottom. I'm just wondering what more, how much further do we got to go? I thought we hit rock bottom a couple times already.
I just want to do a show about soccer. And,
bro, we don't want to talk about
this.
Have
a couple yucks and make fun
Machete Man and a Bodega Kid, you know?
Okay, we're here to have a good time.
I'm struggling after drinking 35 Miller High Lifes yesterday. This isn't what I want to talk about.
But if this is the independence that we fought for from England,
bro,
how great is it really?
England should have been like, I don't even know why we try to keep these, bro. I mean, damn.
It's bad.
Were
man.
Beaver look, pelts that important?
I applaud Sasha Kljestan for doing this, but it is becoming a thing where we're complaining about, you know, these senators or politicians or government, and it's like they're also us. They're the same people. Like, we just have to either be loud enough or something. I don't know what is going on, but the fact that we just have these. I'm not going to say it's performative because it isn't, but the fact that it happens so much, whether it's coaches or players or politicians or anybody with these grandstanding huge speeches, it's getting to the point where it's hard to not be cynical. And that's the really challenging part about all this, that we...
Also, we're all becoming immune to it, which sucks. How many of you even know what happened in Highland Park, right? I mean, it's becoming to the point where the news... Yeah, has this, you know, sort of sift through shootings to decide which one to post about.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, shouts to all the players that constantly try to keep this at the top of the news cycle and talk about it from a personal perspective and the whole nine. You know, I don't know what's going to take to lead to change. But
all right. Well, I mean, we'll yell that into these microphones if we have to. But Jesus Christ, it's
you know what? If they would just have been handed a chopped cheese and a plantain, maybe they wouldn't be.
Obviously. And it was filmed and put on TikTok. Right.
Don't totally. Yeah. You got to get the clout for it as well.
You can't do this without everybody knowing about it. Okay. So let's.
We are getting some questions about Dominican Republic. Your home country.
Yeah, should we start there or start with MLS?
They made it into the Olympics.
Right.
First thought. I mean, just what was your initial reaction watching that penalty go in?
So the I think this game happened a bit before. When they qualified for the U20
Olympics.
So that happened first.
Yeah.
That was in the when they got to the semifinal.
Right.
That alone was unbelievable.
You're like you didn't say like we made it, you said we did something. Something has been done.
An unbelievable accomplishment, right? It's the CONCACAF U20 championship. In this version of the tournament, there were two prizes, or three, the trophy going to the Olympics and going to the U20 World Cup. So a lot at stake, especially if you got to the final. Dominican Republic getting to the semifinal, unbelievable. We're going to Indonesia. I'm like, all right, let's start figuring out the tickets, the whole situation.
Let's show the family where Indonesia is on a map.
and then they play in the semifinal. They are down 2-0. What was Guatemala or Honduras? I forgot who they were playing.
I thought it was Honduras.
I think it's Honduras. Down 2-0 at halftime. They get two goals quickly in the first, like, I think 15 minutes of the second half. It goes to penalties. And I couldn't believe it. I mean, it's just like, it's unbelievable. I mean, this is clear. It's the first time they've ever qualified for the U20 World Cup, for any World Cup, right?
Yeah.
And then first time going to the Olympics when they won in those penalties.
For those who don't know, what's a comparison in the world of soccer? What? Is this like Everton winning Champions League?
This is...
It feels bigger than that.
It feels... No, I mean...
Samuel Eto'o played for Everton at one point. You know what I mean? There's been stars
there.
No,
because Everton have a long history.
Is this like Chicago Fire winning the World Cup?
I feel like that's closer. It's just... I mean, you know, if people are not aware, Dominican Republic does not really play soccer. That is not their forte. Baseball is their bread and pan, you know.
Yeah. This is like this is like England winning qualifying for the baseball international, right?
Right.
Like I'm trying to
it's just such a like far-fetched idea,
right,
for
the Indian basketball team winning gold medal in the Olympics.
So the fact, you know, the Dominican Football League.
Matthew President, it's like Everton staying up. you gotta use your wildest imagination.
Bay Laguna said, it's like the Cooligans winning the Nobel Prize.
Yo, that's pretty good. Chris Mattel said, it's like San Marino winning an international game. It's actually not that different.
Right. So the Dominican Soccer League started, I believe, around the time like the Cooligans started.
Right. They're like, well, they could do this.
It might have been 2014 or something like that. It hasn't been around long at all. There are, I believe, I think there's 7 or 9 teams or something like that.
Right. The training, the academy is whenever a basketball falls on the floor. Kick it around a little bit. Yeah.
So we've spoken to a lot of some of the listeners of our show are people who work for, they're like scouts for the Dominican Republic.
Yeah,
like
it's been pretty cool.
One of them is a
Spurs fan, so right. You know they're not trying.
Oh, but the point is that all hands on deck. Every Dominican from the Bronx to Washington.
By the way,
Heights.
If you are in England, if you're in Spain, and your great 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 grandfather went to Dominican Republic, you now qualify.
Welcome aboard.
Hermano, que lo que.
So it raises a couple interesting...
Bay Laguna said it's like Alexis finishing first in the New York City Marathon. 100% exact.
I mean, it's like Alexis signing up for the New York City.
First of all, I can do that anytime I want. Imagine me actually showing up.
No, you can't because you have to run in other... like smaller mini marathons.
No, I could sign up, but doesn't mean I'm gonna get allowed to do it. They're gonna be like, "Sir, you don't qualify." I'd be like, "Is it the ketchup stain on my shirt?" But like, that's part of it.
This raises an interesting question. Now that Dominican Republic, which is unbelievable, they're going to the Olympics in 2024. The Olympics, their rule is right. It's a U23 tournament.
Right. I thought it was U20.
I thought it was 23.
No, Olympics are U23.
I think it's U23.
But you're allowed what? 2 senior players.
Three.
So
this raises
Mariano
the question.
Diaz.
Finally, will they make the jump? Will they actually represent?
You're talking about Junior Firpo. Mariano Diaz.
Who are both Spanish citizens, but they have... Junior Firpo was born in DR, but raised in Spain.
Right,
Still counts. Mariano Diaz raised... born in Spain, but 2 Dominican parents.
Right, counts.
Okay. Or at least one Dominican.
And one of those homeless dudes holding a plátano. Yo, you're the Dominican.
There's another dude I forgot in Spain. But this... will they play? They can play. They can actually play for the Dominican Republic in the Olympics. And this obviously...
Will that count as a one-time switch, though?
I don't know. It might. But they... How old are they?
Mariano Diaz is like 26 now. He ain't got no chance at Spain.
I know. He doesn't... Yeah. He's not even playing for... He's on Real Madrid. He doesn't even really play. So... okay, so, you know, tweet at them, tell them, yo, get on board.
Yeah. He's 28.
He's 20. Yeah, that's it.
Your career washed, bro.
But it's so weird. Like, he got, when he came back to, he was a Real Madrid player, went to, I think, Lyon for a bit, and then came back. Remember, they did a whole presentation?
Yeah.
He got the number 9 jersey.
They acted like he was going to be the Benzema replacement.
Yeah, and then he just doesn't play. Zidane doesn't rate him. Ancelotti doesn't rate him.
We gotta send a mango with like a little sign that says like, we want you.
Let's pay ya more plátano, bro. So
2013 he played one appearance with the Dominican Republic national team.
Right. But I don't think it was a senior, like he wasn't capped. If to my knowledge, he was not capped. So
I mean, what else are you waiting for? You're 28.
Yeah, dude. Come on.
Bro, I mean, you would be a legend. On the
imagine
island.
Firpo and Diaz are playing in the Olympics.
What are his parents doing? If there's anything I know Dominican parents can do is like put pressure on these kids, bro.
I mean, that's it's not a strictly Dominican thing. But.
Oh, he retired from the Dominican Republic team in hopes of representing Spain. Well, that ain't happening, bro.
Bro, put the shirt back on, dude. So that's an interesting wrinkle in that story. But
FIFA 22 doesn't rate me. This is very good.
But Dominican Republic ended up losing in the final to the U.S. youth national 5-0, team.
5-0, bro.
6-0, bro. 6-0. It was a rough go. It was one of those. I'm not even supposed to be here today. I wasn't even thinking about
Dominican
that.
Dominican players are like, good job on that goal, bro. You did a good job. I'm watching. But what you're doing.
It does. Say a lot, at least about the Philadelphia Union. They had 4 starters.
I think Morgan Tenza said that. Yeah. She said it was a Union youth team.
It was Paxton Aronson.
Who won Golden Boot and Golden Ball.
Right, right. Nathan Harrio?
Yeah.
Jack something? Forgot the...
Joseph Rubric said, Christian going to become Dominican Mino Raiola and start repping all these Dominican Wonder Kids.
Bro, I might end
We've been talking about getting into third-party ownership since the beginning of the show. It's been our goal.
It's not that far-fetched, bro.
I think we could do this.
We could get involved.
I don't think in soccer you have to be like a lawyer, right? You have to be a lawyer, technically a lawyer in the U.S.
You don't even have to have read books.
Bro.
Soccer, they're just like...
we don't know about the law, but I see a lot of your...
Okay, you got a Twitter account? You're hired.
Damn. Look, we're going to put on some Dembo real quick, and I just want to see you move your hips. If I like what I see, bro, you win.
So it was Aronson, Sullivan, McGlynn, and Craig. So, yeah, they absolutely dominated. It's one of those things where I truly, believe. I think after, Greg Berhalter got the job, I think we're starting to see a trickling down of at least a strategy, a philosophy of what U.S. soccer wants to do. And you're seeing it. You're seeing when was Berhalter hired? How long
was it? Was it 2017?
18. Had to be.
Yeah, it was after.
Had to be 18.
It was 18 because Bruce.
Right. So 18. Yeah. And in such a short amount of time, I think we're seeing. I mean, Paxton Aronson is probably the first example of like this kid is incredible. I mean, like for him to be at a U tournament, yes. But
what about Brendan Aronson? That whole Aronson family,
right?
Bro.
Right. No, but Brendan Aronson and just in the
let's
just
get these, the dog out here like Air Bud, bro. the whole Aronson squad,
Aronson,
yeah. Air Ball Budinson.
So the but in just these 4 or 5 years, not only are you seeing I think better talent. But then the sales, I mean, we're going to talk about Tyler Adams, obviously right. Brendan Aronson going to Leeds, Ricardo Pepi going to Augsburg. Like there's just in just a short amount of time, the branding of like these young American players, I think is pretty incredible. Well, and I think that has to do with the work U.S. soccer has done.
I think a lot of focus was put on the fact that the U.S. didn't qualify for the last World Cup, right? Obviously we qualified for this one, everything worked out, but there was a lot of focus put on that, especially when people didn't like quit or resign or be asked to resign. There was a lot of questions about like, what, you're not making any changes? And remember Sunil Gulati was like, look, if the ball was 5 inches this way,
right.
everything would be fine. And it's like, well, it wasn't. So now things need to happen.
Yeah.
You know, I think there was a lot of focus put on that. But I think now that we sort of look at everything from a bird's eye view, after Greg Berhalter's had a fairly successful, I mean, not fairly, a really successful cycle, right? He beat Mexico twice in finals, 3 times or 4 times in a year.
Yeah.
The dude who's, we're doing all the things we need to do. We obviously may not look like world beaters every time we're out. It's really difficult to win in some of these Central American countries, and we've looked bad at times or we've looked lackluster at times. But the thing now that what you're talking about is now that we can look out and see what have we done. We were at a point in 2018 when we still didn't know what what is the style of, how do we play? How does America play? We didn't have a style that was synonymous with us. I believe it was MLSsoccer.com that did a whole study. They went back and basically watched like every national team game, and they decided the style that America plays was basically what Leicester did under Ranieri, which is sit back and then counter. It's not necessarily a style. Usually that's something that if you don't have a lot of skill in the midfield, that's kind of how you have to play.
Yeah.
And I think now that we look where we are, now we have skill in the midfield. We 100%. Have players that can not only hold on to the ball, but are creative. They can get away from defenders. They can go 1v1. And also we have players that can swap positions up front. It's kind of a beautiful thing. I'm not putting all of that on Greg Berhalter. Obviously, a lot of that, these kids had to have been developed on the way to that. But now we have a system. Now we know if you are a number nine, this is the style you should be playing. If you're on the right wing, this is the kind of ball you want to be playing so that you have a chance at the men's national team. It's kind of dope to see.
Right, very much so. So, I mean, they kind of breezed through this tournament. So congratulations to the U.S. team, and it kind of raises questions about Mexico. And Mexico are in these last 5 years are
they've gone the other way.
They are the U.S. of 2017 because they miss out on the Olympics. They didn't make it to the semifinal either. I think they also didn't go qualified for the U-20 final. Please correct me if I'm wrong. I don't recall. But Mexico are just surreal. They can't get players from Liga MX to Europe.
Yeah.
They're not selling. The money's not coming in. And then the there's just so many.
They paused promotion and relegation.
Yeah.
And I think they broke the button. I don't think that play button is going to start again.
So it is CONCACAF is like kind of flipping on its head, which I think is another reason. Like,
also how Canada.
Right.
But Canada balling.
But
and Alfonso Davies hired Benzema's editor, apparently. Everything has changed.
We're in the upside down. The fact that Dominican Republic is in the Olympics and not Mexico.
I don't know if y'all heard. I know. By the way, if anyone who left the negative comment on the Bodega Bro video is watching right now, you probably think those are the same countries.
it's surreal. It is a wild time in you know, North American and Central American soccer.
Justin Freeberg is. I mean, this is why I like. We have like tacticians in our chat.
Yeah,
he said what. It's clear what separates us, the U.S. youth team, from the rest. We got the Cooligans.
Okay. I mean, look.
They ain't got it. I'm looking all over Mexico. They ain't got those Cooligans.
So, incredible. I think a bright future for I think, you know, even from this World Cup and in 2026. I was talking to somebody. Somebody asked me recently, like, what are the chances of U.S. winning the World Cup this year? And I was proud that I wasn't being like, what, it's not gonna, like, yeah. I wasn't super dismissive.
Let's make it out the group. You know, yeah.
No, I think I maybe this is just something
Winning the World Cup, but
we're not winning the World Cup. But I say we get. I think we can get to the quarterfinal.
I think we finish top of the group.
I think so too. Yeah. I think it's definitely possible. I know there might be English people in the chat being like, what are these crazy people talking about?
Right.
I love, you know, I hate bodegas or whatever. Yeah, stop saying that stuff. But I think it's, I would say, I could see us not finishing top of the group, but I think a successful World Cup for the U.S. men's team is getting to the quarterfinal. I think anything not the quarterfinal, maybe I sound crazy, but I think it's plausible. I think we have the talent to do it. So
honestly, it's a question of confidence.
And obviously who we end up playing in the round of 32 and round of 16.
Yeah.
But
more like Mexico.
that sounds like a different cool country, you know what I mean?
Bro, where you going on vacay, bro? Me and the lady, we going out to Mexico. Oh shit. Did you get a promotion? How are you going to Mexico?
And Ice Cold Brew said expectations are going up, quarterfinals at minimum. I think it's not crazy.
Justin Freeberg said, congratulations to the Dominican Republic for qualifying for the Olympics.
Let's go.
Oh.
So I don't think it's crazy to think that they can get to the quarterfinal. I would say when I think of the
quarterfinals is kind of it's crazy to have that as an expectation.
It's a possibility, and I think it would be such a successful World Cup if they could at least get there. The U.S. team, if they play against, in a knockout round of France and Germany,
tough.
These are tough games. So it depends on who they end up pairing us, but I think it's a possibility. I think
Barry Gutis is Russia versus USA final. Oof. Well, did everyone else quit? What happened? Did everyone else have one night stands in Qatar and they're in jail?
Okay, I want to make sure we talk some MLS because there were a bunch of games this weekend. We both went to the NYCFC Atlanta United game, which ended 2-2. And frustrating game. I think Atlanta fans were very happy.
Yeah.
In the fact that we got a lot of messages from people that they were like that were coming to the game. They're like, I'm out here, from Atlanta, come see my team get washed or whatever. Yeah. And
y'all win.
Our homie Dom Dwyer coming through.
You saw his comment on social media?
I did.
It sounded like he's leaving the team.
Yeah, I think maybe he's going through some stuff, I assume, because his comment was basically like, I appreciate this club for giving me an opportunity. And it sounded like a farewell. But he's basically...
I don't think that's what he meant, but it did sound like that. It had that tone to it, but I doubt that's what he meant. But yeah, that Joseph Martinez header, right? Martinez was the one who had the header.
Yeah, the first goal. Absolutely incredible. Great. Yeah, I mean, just perfectly placed.
I was just holding a chicken finger and had to drop it when that happened. I was just watching an air conditioning. Your boy's in a press box.
I think a frustrating dropping of points for NYCFC.
I've said before, Nick Cushing, new manager, thrusted into the position, obviously, with Ronnie Dyla leaving. He's managed before. He managed the Manchester City women's team to great success. I always say you get three matches.
You always say this.
I do. I always say a new manager, mid-season, you get three matches. It's been four because of the U.S. Open Cup. Bad loss to the Rebels. Two draws and a loss?
Two draws and a loss.
Two draws and a loss. Do you have any... early thoughts?
Well, we talked about this last week. Yeah, I said 10 matches is when I'll make my decision because MLS and...
Okay, are you starting to worry?
I am, yes. So what I'm starting to worry about is not the overall. I think a lot of people thought this, and I was one of them. I thought even when Patrick Vieira left, NYCFC kind of figure things out. When Domi Torrent left, he even said they're in a good place. It doesn't matter who the coach is. And I think what we're seeing, what Ronnie Dyla brought was a little bit of confidence in the players and that defensive kind of sharpness, because that's really what's been missing. You give up four goals against Cincinnati.
Yeah, we're not locked down anymore.
Yeah, yeah. So that's...
Sean Johnson's still leading with, I think, 8 clean sheets on the season. So... you could see that, there was a time where they were very difficult to score against.
Yeah. So
and that's kind of gone away.
I think the, the injury to Thiago Martins, the center back, I think that has made it now more as being as of Collins and Chanot, they're playing a lot of games back to back. There's been also a lot of three game weeks and stuff like that. I think this is, you're seeing it sort of catch up to the team, but I'm not particularly worried. Not losing a lot of games. It's just obviously dropping points. Still very close to first place. The Rebels are currently in first place.
I believe they have an extra match played. Right, games played 19-17. So we're two matches away. 32 points for the Rebels. 29 for New York. New York City.
So Red Bull did. Win their game against Sporty Kansas City. SKC Fan TV
as everyone does.
They won. They got one goal from Aaron Long, a header. And I love, again, SKC Fan TV does great reactions and watch alongs and his pain
this man's going through.
Because it's really, it's kind of surreal sometimes how just a bad string of luck that Sporting Kansas City is having. And maybe SKC Fan TV, you can speak to what, what is the problem? I mean, I've never seen, and since we've been doing this show, Sporting Kansas City has never been this bad.
They've seemed like one of the more consistent clubs. Not always the best, but never an easy club to beat.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's been difficult to watch, mainly because we're watching young Steve Buscemi die every week.
and look, a Peter Vermees team, you're just not used to seeing them really struggle that much. And I feel for the homie Kyrie Shelton, former NYCFC player, who's it's strange. Like, he's clearly he's a number nine. He scored a fair amount for NYCFC.
He's more of a target guy. He's always had an issue, I think, finishing.
That's just it's just like, I don't know if it's, and I wouldn't say that Sporting Kansas City is like not the right place for him, because he's getting a lot of minutes and a lot is kind of.
Remember, I thought they were bringing him in just to kind of give him a chance.
Right,
and
right.
And he seemed to have become a pretty significant player for them.
But it's just the goals that he was scoring at NYCFC, he's just not getting them in Sporting Kansas City. He had that one season. I think he got like a 7 or 8 goal season for Sporting Kansas City.
I'm questioning what goals you're talking about for NYCFC.
I'm not crazy. He scored a couple of big goals for NYCFC. Either some headers, some late winners. I mean, that winner.
They were going to say NYCFC is not a big club. Actually, you know what? I do want to bring up Brooke Materia said, do you think NYCFC supporters not being allowed to bring in the drums affected the game?
Oh, right.
Did you hear about this?
Yeah, because of there was fights or something
within the supporters group.
At Rebel Arena?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
Supporters fought themselves.
Oh, I thought it was. Okay. I didn't realize.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I actually, I was told this in the press box. We heard that there were fights, but we didn't hear. Typically, you would assume it's someone from the Red Bull fan base snuck over or something and caused some problems. But there was fights within the group. And I think there were either some Templados were like taken out.
Okay.
Or someone obviously affected the Templados, which are the guys with the drums. Because they're banned. They're not allowed to bring the drums into the games.
Okay. Yeah, I did know that there was a ban. I didn't know who, what the altercation was exactly about.
Barry says, no one beats us like we beat us. But also now the tickets for Rebel Away were taken away and reissued. So now you have to reapply.
Oh.
And apparently it's a smaller now allotment. Okay. A small allocation. Well, so a lot going on.
Yeah.
I will say that the vibes were different at the game without the drums.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes,
there were like other people that would like in other sections that would stand up and like, let's go New York, let's go.
Yeah,
there was the Yankees clap happened. There was a lot of weird stuff going on.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's a shame. Hopefully those guys can be let back in because they were a big part of it.
Right. So there were a couple. So that was a huge result for Red Bull and sent them into first place in the Eastern Conference.
But also like, it's early. We just got to get in the playoffs.
Who's we?
Everyone but Sporting Kansas City.
right. So this is why I'm not so critical of Nick Cushing just yet.
But it is pretty shocking to see that, you know, just the change of a manager.
We're just used to so much excellence, okay? That's the problem.
Bro, Nick Cushing needs to take his clothes off, do a couple push-ups. You know what I mean? Remind everyone.
This sounded...
Remind without everyone.
The way you said it just sounded like, wow, Alexis, are you...
Listen, you're the one who came over to film, kid. You know?
Mr. Alexis Weinstein over here.
Wow, all right. Relax. Jamie, do not add that into a goddamn clip.
No, it will get flagged on TikTok immediately.
Yeah, please don't.
Okay.
Jesus Christ, Christian. They always think it's me.
So somebody mentioned Andre Blake. This was a controversial call in the game against Columbus. This game ended.
I didn't see this.
So this game ended 0-0. Andre Blake stopped the penalty. Great work, per usual. But there was a controversial goal that was taken back. VAR said it was offside. Eric Hurtado apparently obstructing the view of Andre Blake. And Alexis, I want you to look at this so you can tell me if you think this is this is actually offside. I saw Andrew Wiebe tweeted this particular angle that I had not seen from the broadcast. But this is obviously a very short clip. And you can see here, so Eric Hurtado is the one running right in front of him. And the ball goes to the far post, to Andre Blake's left. This, a great goal. I don't think Andre Blake is saving this. But apparently, because Eric Hurtado is in the way.
He is in the way. Also, his run has nothing to do with the play.
Right.
So it feels like he's doing this on purpose.
Meaning he's, like obstructing his view on purpose.
Yeah, because look how he turns towards the keeper. He's kind of like, you know.
I don't see it. Look, right now, Hurtado is
go
facing,
full screen on that.
The audience won't be able to see it.
Okay, but I will.
Yeah.
So there's a benefit to it.
But he's Hurtado is facing, you know, he's facing the person shooting the ball.
Okay, now I see that. You know what though? He is impeding the view of the keeper.
Yeah, he is, but would have Andre Blake saved that?
Possibly.
That's possible.
There's a hezzy there. He hesitates, and the players in front of him in the hesitation.
If
I were a Philadelphia Union fan, I'd be happy with it. If I were a Columbus fan, I'd be furious with it.
so
I get both sides. But if you're by the rule. He technically is.
Look, we have a Philadelphia Union fan saying it's a pretty soft call. I'd be pissed if I was a Crew fan. It seemed a very harsh interpretation of the rule.
Nice cold brew said keeper screening is a foul in the laws of the game. That's what I'm talking about. Like,
in the laws. It is a keeper screen 100%. It's in the laws of the game. You can't be in an offside position and screen the keeper, but. I honestly think he's not saving that. It's just such a well-hit ball.
It's going to take a pretty significant keeper to save that, and that happens to be the guy who could do it.
Oh, you got Stretch Armstrong in goal? No. I don't think we win in this game. So, it seemed a little bit harsh, but nil-nil. It's just the Eastern Conference. It keeps the Eastern Conference very tight. And anybody can end up winning, being in first or even fighting for that supporter shield.
What are the supporter shield standings as of right now? LAFC in the lead with 36 points.
Yeah.
2 points per game. That is impressive. And can we talk about the fans flipping out when they hire Steve Cherundolo? Remember?
Yes, yes.
There were people talking about getting rid of their season tickets and there was going to be like, you know, people boycotting the game. Boy. Steve Cherunda, yes. Remember, we were famous for saying Steve Cherunda, no? I know I was.
Damn, yo, do you have like, should we get somebody to pat you on the back?
Yeah. Or C, Cherunda, yes.
Okay.
He's killing it.
Yeah, no, LAFC is incredibly impressive, and Gareth Bale has not suited up yet. Neither has Giorgio Chiellini. Yeah. The one thing, actually, Chiellini, my main concern.
Parahuna said, "Damn, Columbus Brew."
One of my favorite breweries.
Yeah, it's a little grainy, but I like it.
I'm happy. You know, Chiellini coming to MLS playing at LAFC. The one thing I'm concerned about is the homie Sebastian Nubiaga, the center back for LAFC.
Looks like he will be probably sitting.
Damn, bro. Can't be taking my man's minutes, Giorgio.
But now there's more time for the fit picks. Nubiaga got it, man.
He does got it.
That closet goated, bro.
Okay, so there was a couple other... What was... There was another result did you see the San Jose goal? The FIFA goal? The FIFA glitch goal?
Yeah. It was somebody put it up on Twitter and said this might be the most MLS goal of all time. I honestly don't even know how it did or didn't go in. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm like, wait, who hit it? When?
If you haven't seen this, I mean, San Jose won this game 2-1, which is, I mean, San Jose winning a game is just sentence I'm not used to saying.
If you were adding sounds, by the way, they celebrated like they've been winning all year. They were like, this is what we do. If you were adding sounds to that highlight, it'd be a lot of like boink.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was, I forgot his name, Moreno or Montero.
Montero, yeah.
Jaime Montero or whatever, the dude from San Jose that played him in Philly. Well, he took the first shot, hits the like crossbar, and then we get a save, and then it hits the post, and then finally it gets to a San Jose player and he taps it in. But it was absolutely comical. And when you look at it at first, you're like, how can, what are the defenders doing, or whatever. But at that point, once it bounces around like that,
you're everyone's lost.
Everyone is literally like,
because
whoa.
Your body's going one way, but your eyes are going the other way because it keeps, it's like ping ponging around.
You can't get mad at any defender.
No.
Because at that point, they're just like, there's
no formation that's going to adjust.
The defenders now become spectators.
Yeah.
In this MLS match, and
it's
like,
one of those things of like, if it's near you, just kick it out. You know what I mean? I don't know what to do.
They're literally just like back and forth. They're watching tennis.
It's every Manchester United fan's worst nightmare when this happens, because you know Harry Maguire is in your squad. You know what I mean? And it's gonna bounce off his back and go in.
Right.
But I do want to talk about this kid, Taxi Fountas.
Yeah, the DC United went 5-3 against Orlando.
Somebody in the chat said DC is fighting for that wooden spoon. You might be avoiding it with this boy you got. I believe he came from Rapid Vienne.
Mm-hmm.
However, you pronounce it that way. I pronounce it.
Rapid Ween.
Yeah. Rapid Wiener. Right? Which is Christian's nickname in high school.
I told my first girlfriend to stop tweeting about me.
Bro. Honestly, change my name in your phone, bro. I'm older now. I'm a little bit slower. Nice. Let's give 10 games, 9 goals?
Something like that. I actually wanted to pull up a stat that I got from the homie Tom Boger.
10 games, 9 goals, 3 assists.
Okay, yeah.
He now has 12 combined goals and assists in his first 10 MLS matches, which is tied for the most in history. Kid's a beast. And I think this is the type of player. I don't know how old he is. How old is Taxi?
I don't know. But actually, I want to pull this up real quick, because Taxi is on this list. But Tom Boger listed all the individual leaders in goals and assists halfway through the 2022 MLS season. Number one, Lucho Acosta from FC Cincinnati, which I'm not surprised.
It's the badge that he wears.
But I mean, look, we saw the 4 goals. FC Cincinnati are in fifth place in the Eastern Conference.
No, doing pretty good.
We joke about FC Cincinnati. They're 12th
in the supporter shield.
But we obviously for years, because I mean, why wouldn't we?
Here's the headline: FC Cincinnati are in a playoff position.
but they have turned things around. I mean, we gotta give them credit and give credit where credit is due. And then so at 16 with 6 goals and 10 assists, Lucho Acosta, incredibly impressive. And then
3 people are tied for 2nd place with 14.
Yeah, Sebastian Drusi, Jesus Ferreira, and Hany Mukhtar.
Hany Mukhtar having an incredible season.
I think Jesus Ferreira is probably the most surprising name as far as
fact that FC Dallas are playing as consistently as they are, obviously bringing in someone like Paulo Arriola has been a massive.
Yeah, player. And then making Jesus Ferreira a designated player from being a homegrown to a designated player. And it's worked out. It's paying off. So. Okay, so and
literally,
Hany Mukhtar is Hany Mukhtar. The dude's a beast.
5 tied at 12. Vela, Talis Magno, Carlos Gil, Taxi, and Vasquez.
Vasquez from
Taxi
Galaxy,
just
right?
got here, bro.
He's really catching up.
But I feel like, all right, so he's 26 years old. Is this the type of player that MLS should be going after? He's 26, so maybe he's just on that outer edge of like a player you could flip, right? If we really are a selling league.
Yeah, I think as far as like players that MLS are going after, we're seeing examples of that with the players who leave. I think Adam Buxa leaving, coming to MLS, being here, two and a half years.
Getting his groove back.
Doing his thing.
Flip him.
But the fact that, European players are like, I can spend some of my time here and it's not going to just like ruin my resume.
Right. We are now at that place where MLS is no different than going to the Belgian league or the Austrian league or some of these other leagues where you would see players get plucked from there and go to some of the biggest clubs in the Premier League, some of the biggest clubs in, maybe Spain, right? You would be able to pluck from them. MLS now is in that realm, but typically the type of player that gets purchased from MLS typically are younger and American players.
Right.
To see Europeans be able to come here, play well, and be able to get a chance to go back. Maybe 26 is just on the outer edge of that.
Well, at the very least, it's showing that clubs, as far as like the transfer economy and MLS is part of it, is that other leagues and other clubs respect the level of competition to be like, oh, you didn't just have a fun go out in MLS, bag a whole bunch of goals, and then you come to our league and you can't compete.
Right.
So they're saying like, no, this league is good enough. And the thing that's even more impressive, and a lot of people are talking about Sebastian Drewsi,
killing it,
absolutely crushing it. But my concern, and this was always a concern when MLS expanded, whenever new teams came into the league, everybody was worried that the quality of competition would get watered down because there were too many teams, there were not enough quality players,
right?
But the way they are alleviating that, and maybe this is what, you know, Gam and Tam really helped with, is that when teams get expanded, When more teams when the league gets expanded, now there's just a larger pool of players to pick from, and it's usually foreign talent. If you're just basing it on American talent, yes, there's clearly not enough. But when it's like a new team joins the league, and now it's like, all right, now we can start picking from, you know, Sebastian Drewsi came from Russia.
Yeah, he came from Zenit.
Zenit, right? So it's like, all right, that's who we're competing with.
Right.
Those clubs that it's like from those other the countries that are not in the top five European leagues.
Yeah, we're not buying wonder kids from the French league or Spain just yet. But Jamal, our homie Jamal Gunner, in the chat, he said only pensioners go to MLS. Stop the cap. When you're talking about MLS, when you mean by cap, you mean salary cap. But also, that's how it's still viewed by people who don't watch MLS. Mm-hmm. It's still viewed because you see guys like Gareth Bale and Chiellini. Those are the names that get the top billing from going to MLS. And there is still some value, marketing-wise, of having players like Gareth Bale and Giorgio Chiellini in your squad. Just like when, you know, Pirlo physically didn't show up, or I mean physically came to MLS but mentally wasn't here.
Pirlo also just got a new
he's
job.
An assistant. He's an assistant manager.
I think he's the head. He's a manager. He's the straight.
I thought he was an assistant manager.
No, I'm almost sure he's the manager of what club?
The Target in Queens. I saw he's in coaching now again.
Yeah, yeah. He's in Denmark or I forgot what. I got no clue. But okay.
I mean, look, to Jamal's point, and obviously Jamal's just having a good time in the chat. Well, we always welcome him. But to that point, we are still kind of viewed. So there is, right? I think the perception typically trails what's actually happening because it takes a few years before you can change the perception of what's going on. So I do like that he said that because it just goes to show we have a lot more to go. But yo, the more players we develop, players like Weston McKennie who are doing well, players like Tyler Adams, players like, what's his name? Jack Harrison. The more players like that we develop that end up playing long, consistent careers in Europe in big leagues, the more that perception will adjust for MLS.
Right. And like, people are going to still, we're always going to deal with the jokes about retirement league and this and that. But what I do like is that.
This is crazy. Jamal said, Alexis, I watch MLS because I bet on some of the teams. That's the first crazy thing you've said. That's bananas, Jamal. You got a problem. Problem if you're betting on MLS. And second of all, he said, I swear, Alexis, you could play up top for Seattle Sounders. What? One of the top teams in this league who've beaten Mexican competition, and you probably also don't know about that. That's a very difficult hurdle for us to hop over, and they did it with grace. Yo, you crazy,
bro. What's annoying is that the more...
I could play up top for Sporting Kansas City, sure. Yes.
That's obvious. Nobody's debating that. But the fact that, you know...
Oh, Jamal said he's a coach in Turkey.
Okay. Thank you for about Pirlo. So the more we start like hearing these jokes, the more we like just hear these jokes, the more ridiculous they sound, right? Because
when we started the show, you were right.
You were 100% right. Yes. NYCFC signs Lampard and Pirlo and Villa.
Yeah.
Fine. We understand that. But times have changed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay?
Them days is gone.
You know, when Wayne Rooney signed with DC United, there were plenty of people. They were DC United fans. And yeah, it worked out.
Yeah.
He had a great time in DC. But there were people that were like, what are DC United doing? This is a waste of a designated player, a waste of money. The league has moved past this. And, you know, Wayne Rooney proved everybody wrong.
I said that.
Right, right. And there's a lot of, I think MLS clubs, like now the Chiellini signing seems more risky.
It seems like a joke.
Right.
It's almost people, even their own fans are like, we don't need this.
Because to even, you know, we had, the Nashville GM on, Mike Jacobs, we had him on and we were asking him these questions. And these general managers, they all talk to each other. And it's getting to a point where, oh, you're going to sign a 35-year-old? It sounds ridiculous, no matter how successful they might have been.
Also, he said, all right, so Jamal basically... a nice quote, Bruce said, banter league, to be honest, which I don't know if he's talking about us or Turkey, where he's going. But Jamal said, nah, MLS games are slow. Stop it. I have seen some of the games. I bet on some of the teams, but they'd be scoring goals there. I'm not exactly sure what you mean by that. But to think of MLS as slow, I think that's kind of... I mean, are you betting on games from like 8 years ago?
Look, I mean,
there's some bad game. There's bad game. Look,
Jamal's an Arsenal fan, watching Premier League regularly. Premier League is the fastest league in the world.
Norwich versus Burnley is trash.
Let's not be wild about it.
Right.
Yeah, can MLS clubs compete with the top 9 clubs in Premier League?
No,
no, nobody's saying that.
Maybe not even the top 15.
Right, but. There's clearly improvement. And if you're going to keep saying retirement league, pension this, pension that, you're over time, you're going to sound more ridiculous. That's
you sound
all
like
saying.
An old head who's like, hip hop today. I can't hear with the mumbling. That's what you sound like, bro.
That's it. Like, we're here. We're in it. And there's improvement. We're not like talking about the ins and outs and details of the Premier League and the culture of it, because we're not there. But we are here and we know what we're talking about. Okay. Thomas said, we'll find out soon when Leeds is all former MLS players. Yeah. Yes. I want to talk about Tyler Adams, obviously, yes, going to Leeds United, transferred from RB Leipzig, going to play for his old MLS manager, his old Bundesliga manager. And so Brendan Aaronson, Tyler Adams, Jack Harrison, Jesse Marsh, the MLS representation at Leeds.
It's an MLS All-Star game.
Are Leeds staying up?
Yeah. I mean, losing a player like Rafinha will be difficult. Losing a player like
Calvin Phillips.
Calvin Phillips is going to be really difficult. But look, I'm interested to see where Tyler Adams is played. I have a feeling he's going to be the Calvin Phillips replacement. I'm excited to see him play there, to be a consistent, even though Jesse Marsh kind of, also has like that kind of flowing style. But I am interested to see him be a defensive midfielder and just be that. I think it's going to be incredible for the lead up to the World Cup. I think it's going to be great to have him there. I think it's great to have him play under a system that's kind of similar to what Greg Berhalter's doing in a way. So I'm excited to see it. But I do think they're going to play well, and I think they're going to stay up.
What's similar about Greg Berhalter's system to Jesse Marsh?
It's a lot of wing play for the fullbacks. It's a lot of cutting in. You're going to have Brendan Aaronson leading the charge. He's going to have to put on some weight, but they're all going to be playing in the same positions that they essentially play for the men's national team.
Okay, maybe that's probably about it. I think
they both press. It's about getting the ball back in the first 5 seconds. It's after you lose the ball, they play a fairly similar style.
All right. I'm not an expert, but I was waiting to hear your expert opinion.
I just gave it. I think you're genius. So let's ask Jamal what he thinks.
I think the some people were concerned about this move and basically saying, especially for Tyler Adams, that this level, the level might be a bit too high for him. And I saw this from a couple of people from The Athletic and stuff. I'm not saying that that's necessarily the case, but it is realistically, it is a step down. He's not playing in Champions League now, as opposed to in Leipzig. But from what I understood was that the new coach at Leipzig didn't have
him. Doesn't rate him.
Yeah, and doesn't have him in his plans. So that's probably the one thing I'm thinking about. For whatever reason, Brendan Aaronson in the Premier League doesn't sound too... I think he can keep up.
He's pretty small framed. I think that's the big fear that I have.
Right, but incredible dribbler, great with the ball. I think he's going to evade a lot of
I think he's going to show well.
But for Tyler Adams, this is going to be a big ask. There's going to be a lot of responsibility.
By the way, you and I are now, by the end of the season, going to be homeowners.
Why is that?
In England. I don't know if you heard this. Jamal just said, LOL, Leeds about to play in the championship. I can bet my mortgage. Americans can't hack it in EPL apart from goalkeepers.
Wow, what a bold statement.
Christian Pulisic.
What is he? Is he just played, a failure?
First of all, won Chelsea a Champions League and played important minutes for Chelsea, which if that doesn't work out, it's not like he's going to be bought by Derby County, whatever you want to call it. He's not going to Preston North End. He ain't going to Preston West End, South End, East End. Mans would stay in the Champions League, bro. Or he would go to a top team in a different league in one of the other big leagues. You're crazy. You're crazy.
Times are changing, bro. Times are changing.
Yo, get on that
watch
new shit.
Watch when he watches Brendan Aaronson and a couple of these guys. I mean, it's no joke. We're not just blowing smoke or whatever. They're in the Premier League for a reason. I have concerns. I think the Premier League is going to be harder on Tyler Adams than it is on Brendan Aaronson. But the Calvin Phillips, if he's a 1-to-1 replacement of Calvin Phillips, that's where the Tyler Adams is not as tall as Calvin Phillips, winning some aerial, like, and then the dudes are just bigger out in the Premier League.
Yeah. No, it's look, bigger defenders, which is difficult for even like Germans when they go there. It's not an easy
transition. But for the position that he plays, and then the scrutiny of him being American, that's where my concern is. But I obviously wish him all the best.
Bro, I mean, Jamal's getting it from every angle. Shouts to Jamal for holding firm. But he put Pulisic 1, Chelsea a UCL. Yeah, right. My dad is dating Shakira. Yo, congrats to your dad. Let me tell you, when we own your home, your dad is invited and his girl are more than welcome to come by and hang out.
Unbelievable.
Bro.
All right.
Also, why are you watching us? Yo, go hang out with your dad. He's banging Shakira. Go smell your dad's finger, bro.
Walker 8 said, isn't Tim Ream still the captain of Fulham? You tripping, Jamal. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not even mad about Jamal's perception.
Very good to say. This is what happens when we sell mid-grade drugs in England.
I'm not even upset at it. Like, I think it's...
No, it's a little bit of a leftover from a bygone era, but I think we see that era as being bygone. I think we still have some more convincing to do. And that's why I appreciate Jamal saying this, because this perception is real. There's people who don't know anything, like what Filthy Fellas was talking about, what Chiellini was going to LA Galaxy. And it's like, you know, how long before... By the way, one of them was wearing an LAFC top and they go, it's a cool LA Galaxy jersey. Like, there's...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's going to take a while before we completely change what that perception is. And I honestly think the new Apple deal was not going to help. Having games really late on a Saturday night and really late on a Wednesday night might not help.
Yeah. I guess for English, perception. Jamal said, LOL, love your show. But yeah, the delusion is real in the studio. What player has hacked it in the EPL? Tell me.
Clint Dempsey.
What? How many examples?
Landon Donovan was trying to be kept by Everton when he was on loan.
And look, there's examples. Are there 1,000 examples? No, because not that many Americans.
Just started.
but like there's clearly examples. I'm sorry, there's not examples. As many examples as Brazilians,
right,
and Spanish or whatever, but even still, like how many Spaniards play in the EPL? Is it more than 50?
I mean, it's a good amount that have played well, but no, yeah, to your point, there's not a lot of people.
It's just the English have their bias and way of seeing the game, but just the way it's the same reason there aren't many English that play in La Liga. And the Spanish have a, you know, they feel their football is better than yours. And that's just how it is. So I don't even, Jamal's comments are fine. This is the banter that we need, but we're going to earn your respect, whether you like it or not. Yeah, at some point.
You know when it starts? World Cup. When we wash.
All right.
Bro, well, I've said it before. I'll say it again. Peter going to be called because we slaughtering three lions, bro.
Okay, when England doesn't make it out of the group, you can apologize to us.
The whistle for kickoff is going to be click clack because y'all about to get stomped.
Okay. Bay, we're going to say.
Yeah, nice Cobra say. Bamal doing a madness right now.
Crazy. So, an exciting weekend of MLS. NWSL had their game. They did the Daytona 500 game.
Yeah. And I also want to remind Jamal, you're also the same people who said when Zola went to Chelsea, oh, Europeans, other foreigners can't play in the Premier League. Yeah. And that was what, 15, 20, 25 years ago?
Yeah.
Come on,
bro. Okay. I was saying the NWSL had their game
Jamie Boyce said, say it with your chest, them all. These public players will get found out when Leeds are relegated and finish bottom of the group in Qatar. Bro, I can't believe you are editor. Also, you see how massive this dude is? He posts pictures with regular looking human beings and he looks like he's closer to the camera. Yo, so I shouldn't be saying this to Jamie.
Jamie's a Premier League midfielder, I think.
Are you kidding me? Homie looks like he was developed by Burnley. Center back. What I'm saying is y'all are getting destroyed.
All right. Look, that's it. It'll happen on the pitch.
Also, Jamie, you keep talking like this. You're not invited to Jamal's house when we own it after next season, bro.
Because we're having parties there.
Bro. Shakira's coming, dude. Don't you want to be there?
Bay, we're going to say, Jamal, English players aren't even the best players in England. we gotta crawl before we can walk. I mean, just this constant negativity about Americans are not this and not that. Like, yo, we're getting there. All right,
bro. Come on.
All right. You saw Mbappe kick a field goal the other day?
Look good.
All right. We're not out here trying. The French will never, get into the NFL.
The French don't even want to play in the league, bro.
It's just so comical, man. All right. What else? What else is there? Anything else we should cover before we wrap up? Anything? Please let us know in the chat. I know. A couple.
Justin Fury said, we got a scooter before we can drive a car. I choose to drive a scooter. By the way, the rain has shifted and I might be screwed.
The CONCACAF Women's Championship is going on. This is for who gets into the World Cup from CONCACAF. That's for the exciting. Women's World Cup. The U.S. won their game against Haiti. The one surprising thing, Mexico lost their game against Jamaica.
Right.
And Mexico, I was seeing tweets from the homie Amelia Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
They pretty much saying they've had, 2 years to prepare, and then they lose 1-0 to Jamaica. Mexico is definitely, in the women's side are really trying to, keep up with Canada and the U.S. and just trying to, I think they have a lot of internal fights as far as, trying to just have relevancy within the program in Mexico. But making a World Cup would be so, so crucial to the growth of the game.
Absolutely. And also just the respect that's put on it, even locally.
Right.
Which I think would be a huge help. Also, remember the woman who won the Ballon d'Or and she was disrespected at the ceremonies?
Hedberg.
Hedberg. She retired from, Norway?
I believe it's Norway, yeah.
She retired from the Norway team in protest of the inequality of payment and respect towards the players and training and whatnot. She has come back.
I did know.
She is back, and it's great to see that. So I guess she was able to make the change that she was hoping for. Now she's back with the team.
And banging in a whole bunch of goals.
Yeah, she's great player.
Absolute baller. Won the Champions League with Lyon. The other day. Okay. Anything else before we go? We had mentioned, I'll just say this. We mentioned last week that we were, obviously, Meadowlark Media, where you've joined the Levitard and Friends Network. So
Jamal says Meadowlark couldn't hack it in the Premier League. That's weird.
So next week is the official launch of us with Meadowlark, and you might notice a couple little changes and things like that. But for the most part, you know, everything will be pretty much as usual. So I just wanted to give people a heads up because I think we said it would be this week, but it's going to be next week. So.
Yeah. Also, you know, look, there will be some changes, I'm sure. But for the most part, it's going to be slow going. We're going to try to figure out the best way to sort of blend what we do and what they do.
Yeah.
You know, so expect some changes to come, but hopefully things stay relatively the same.
Yeah, we go into more detail on Patreon. We recorded another.
The chat is just full argument. Jamal said Donovan and Dempsey have the careers of Arteta and Michu, respectfully. Donovan and Michu, I'll take that. But Dempsey, Arteta was a captain of two teams.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what are you talking about?
I don't know.
In Arteta's career, is a great career.
Who does Jamal respect at all? Like, I just want to know what the standard.
Just Thierry Henry.
I mean, yeah, we haven't developed the Thierry Henry just yet, so we'll
give you that.
We're trying our best. A couple. That will start next week, and we go into a lot of detail. We recorded a No Cap Recap. It's our Patreon podcast where we talk about some of the behind the scenes stuff and just stuff that's not related to soccer. But it was
we're going to be changing No Cap Recap a little bit, or we're going to just add something else.
Yeah,
but we want to start once things settle with this with Meadowlark. We want to start giving you guys a weekly episode that has nothing to do about football, or that isn't just the behind the scenes of the stuff that's happening. Because right now it's more of like a state of the union.
Right.
You know, that's sort of how we treat it. But we want to make it just a funny show about everything else.
Yeah, and maybe bring
that's going on.
Bring some comedian friends on and stuff like that. So yeah, there's a lot we want to do. So join the Patreon if you have not.
And also shouts to everybody who's already a member of the Patreon, who's already said a lot of positive things and kind of giving us a little bit more insight as to what might happen if the show changes a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Again, if it wasn't for the Patreon, we wouldn't be here.
So I love this. Thomas said, Thierry Henry never won MLS Cup. Just saying. He did try a lot of times. Came up short.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. The Justin Friedberg, I just want to read this. He says, I was a bit shocked at the overturned red card in the USA-Haiti game. The first VAR call in the CONCACAF.
I didn't know that was the first one.
Yeah. I think VAR just got introduced for the first time in this, you know, in the tournament leading up to the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
The Haitian player kicked Kelly O'Hara. I think the thought from the ref was that it hit her, like kicked her, like studs to the face.
Right.
But it was like, it was still pretty bad. It was hit the arm, scraped down to the arm into the into like her side. Brutal. I mean, it was really bad, and it was red card and then overturned because I guess it wasn't violent enough.
No blood, no foul. But they're like, but there was though. You know.
Okay. No, we mean blood.
Yeah. Oh, where I cut.
Ain't that much blood. Yeah. Stop crying. I was kind of shocked at that too. Okay. Andrew Johnson said, are you going to have more podcasts with Grant and his 1950s ghost best friend? Which I assume was like Chris Whittingham?
Yeah, because the photo is it's all black and white, the photo that he posts.
Oh, I don't know. I assume that's Chris Whittingham, but it's hilarious. Okay.
Jamal just wants a hug from Alexis's dad. Hey, if you find him. Wait a minute. That's the Hannah Banana. Did she change her name or are there two?
I think.
Where's Hanan Banana?
might have changed the name. Okay. All right, everybody. I think we should wrap up. Thank you.
Yeah, because I'm actually about to shit my pants. We got to go.
Okay.
Look, I love Miller
Highlife. It has nothing to do. Okay.
I love Miller Highlife, but Miller Highlife don't love you back, boy.
Oh, I thought you were worried about the rain. You're actually going to show
No, yeah. I'm literally going to, as soon as we hit top, I'm running to the bathroom.
Okay. All right. It wasn't a euphemism.
No. I'm literally holding back actual poo. So
it was a poopemism.
Hey, wow.
There we go.
Please don't think that's what we do on the Patreon.
That's for Jamal, bro. All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. I hope you enjoyed your holiday weekend as much as you possibly could on top of the absolute nightmare that is living in this country. country. Yes. But y'all the absolute best. Remember, hit like on this video on YouTube. Leave a comment, subscribe, and join the Patreon. Patreon.com/soccercoolie.
In fact, if you join the Patreon at the $500 a month level, we have one, which is crazy. Not only do you get a show from us, but you could live with us in Jamal's house because we're going to own it in a year.
Pretty good deal.
Yeah. We'll save a room. That's a good rent. That's cheap rent. $500 a month? That's cheap rent.
All right, everybody. Take care. And we will see you next week as part of Meadowlark Media. So y'all the absolute best. Peace.